Praise God. Whew, I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness, what a worship. I don't know about you, but I still want to worship. Praise God. He's holy. He's mighty and he's powerful, isn't he? Yes, indeed. Come on, stand up on your feet. Come on. I know you just sat down. Give him some praise and glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We give you the glory for what you have done. Lord, what you're going to do in and through us, Father. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. I give you the glory today, Father. Woo, praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, precious Lamb of God. Precious Lamb of God. Let God have his way. Hallelujah. Let him have his way. Oh, praise his holy name. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to express what you feel in your heart this morning. Hallelujah. God loves this praise. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo, yes. My Lord and my God. Praise God. You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Ooh, I want you to know something. You sung a song, you said we don't want ordinary. Well, this ain't ordinary. Nothing is ordinary in here. Hallelujah. I'm tired of ordinary. Are you tired of ordinary? I'm telling you, I'm tired of ordinary. I'm tired of coming in and singing a few songs and hearing a sermon and getting up, walking out, and nothing else happens. I want to see the hand of God move. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want God to shake this building. Not man, but God. Praise God. You may, some of you may be in here, and this is the first time for you. Well, I got news for you. You are not in a Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, or none of those denominations, and there's nothing wrong with them. We love them, and God loves them too. But I'm telling you, you're in a Pentecostal church, and there's nothing ordinary. Nothing ordinary. When you express how you feel from your heart for the one that gave his life a ransom for you. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Praise God. I'm tired of ordinary. Whew. I want to see the things of God. I want to see people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Lives changed. Homes changed. Hallelujah. Those bonds that have you bound up, broken, and you set free in Jesus Christ. Praise God. You say, well, brother, you ain't got to scream and holler. Ooh, let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, brother, let me tell you something. You're going to do something. Yes, indeed. It's exciting. I had a man told me one time, I'm going to tell you something, and they're not boasting on me. I had a friend of mine that got saved. We would witness to him. And every time he would, he preaches sometimes, and whenever he preaches, I try to go and hear him preach, and he introduces me as his man that helped lead him to Jesus Christ. He said it wasn't anything but his excitement for Jesus that reached my heart. Let me tell you something. When you get excited for the Lord, people take notice of you. They want to know what is different about you. Man, you are peculiar. Yes, we are. The Word of God, God calls us his peculiar treasure. You're no longer the same. Oh, by the way, if you snuck in this morning into a Pentecostal church and you didn't want to be noticed, you already been mocked. They done already saw you. So you might as well sit back and enjoy the service. Praise God. I'm going to give you what God has given me. You see, that's the kind of preacher I am. I preach what God gives me. I don't just look in the Bible and pick out something and say, I think I'll preach on this today. No, if God don't give me anything, we're going to come in, sing a song, and I'm going to dismiss and pray, and we're going home because I ain't got nothing to say. But when God gives me something to say, how many of you know I'm going to say it? That's right. I'm going to speak what's in my heart. Praise God. Whew, I'm telling you, I've got to come down. I've got to get my feet on the ground here a little bit and get stable today. Praise God. I'm telling you, it's exciting. The Holy Ghost is exciting. The power of God is strong and mighty. It's exciting to be full of the Holy Spirit, to have God's presence come down on you in a mighty way. Let me tell you something. People say, well, now, you know, that's emotions now. No. Have you ever been touched by the power of God? I've seen people, the little mealy-mouthed people, you know what I'm talking about, them little weak-kneed people. I've seen them when the Holy Spirit would come down on them, they could jump 6 foot. I'm telling you, I've seen them shake and quake under the power of God, and people would look at them and say, my gosh, they're having a fit. No, they're having a Holy Ghost fit. Praise God. That power of the Holy Spirit is surging through them. I'm telling you, it is different. Like one preacher used to say, it's better felt than telt. Hallelujah. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? How many of you have had the Holy Spirit to shake you? Oh, Mott has. I see Mott and a couple of them over here. I said, how many of you have been had the Holy Spirit to get a hold to you and shake you and stir your lives? Praise God. Some people are ashamed. They don't want to stick a hand up. I don't want people to know I get like it. I'll do that at home. That's for home. I've heard people say that. Preach it. That's for your home time when you're in your prayer closet. No. That ain't what the Word of God says. Let me tell you something. On the day of Pentecost, and I'm not preaching on Pentecost, so just settle down. On the day of Pentecost, they saw that was going on. They were in the streets. The people thought they were drunk, and they were out in the streets. And let me tell you something. The Word of God said 5,000 souls came to Jesus Christ that day. Let me tell you something. All the water giving out and all the other stuff giving out and all the foot pounding you can do. Let me tell you one thing. When the Holy Spirit is in it and when He does it, it's done. Yes, indeed. These things are good. Don't you get me wrong. Don't you go tell the boy that I said we don't need to do. No, we need these things. You need to hit the street. You need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. You need to be knocking on doors. And whenever you get the opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, you need to let it go and let God. You never know where God's placing you. You never know when somebody's contemplating suicide. And you might be the one that reaches them. My brother-in-law was on his way to commit suicide. He was going to kill himself. And a preacher had befriended him. And he said, I'm going to go by his house, and he's not there. I'm going down to that bridge, and I'm going to jump off. I'm going to end it all. As he pulled up in the driveway, the pastor was getting in his car, getting ready to leave. I'm telling you. Let me tell you something. That was close. God is mighty and powerful, isn't he? He went in and talked to the pastor, and the pastor led him right to Jesus Christ. As far as I know, that's the way he passed on. When he passed on, he left this world. He said good night here and good morning up there. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the way it's going to be. Soon as your eyes close in death, they're going to open either one or two places. And your destiny depends on you. Now, that's not what my sermon is today. I just want to get that out of me. I had that in me and it just had to come out. But let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's gospel. I want to talk a little bit about a book my wife gave me to read. Let me tell you something. Ron will tell you, anybody that's ever done any preaching or teaching will tell you, the devil fights you tooth and nail, especially when God wants to speak through you. Now, I'm just a little country bumpkin. That's all I am. I live down here in Concord, Virginia. I grew up right here in Lynchburg. I've been here. I've been in this church for 65 years now. This is my home church. That doesn't make me anybody. But I'm just telling you, I've been here that long. I came with the building, I guess. I guess my mother may have had me here in the building. I don't know. But all I can recollect, and I've been here back years ago. But you know one thing? I've seen the hand of God move and move and move and move. I've seen things out of the ordinary. People said they didn't even believe it, but you know what? God did it anyway. He doesn't care whether you believe it or not. God's work is going to go on. Now, I got a little dry mouth this morning. I've been fighting the enemy, so y'all bear with me. I left my hearing aid at home this morning. I'm telling you, everything's falling apart. Last night I was sitting there and I told my wife, I said, I got to study. I said, I need you to type my notes up. So I go in and I sit down a few minutes. I said, I'm going to sit here a few minutes and then I'm going to go study a little bit more. I've been studying since God gave me the sermon. I've been studying, praying, and seeking God's face for it. And all of a sudden the room started wobbling with me. How many of you know what that is? No, I'm drinking no wine. It's called vertigo. The room was all off kilter. That's where it was going. And I'm laying there like this, and oh, man. I said, oh, no. I can't do this. Let me tell you something. I had a preach one Sunday morning with full-blown vertigo. There was nobody else to preach. I was a guest speaker. The pastor wasn't even there. What was I going to do? Just walk in there and say, hey, I got vertigo. I can't preach. But how many of you know God got me through it? I couldn't even study last night. When you look down or when you look up, everything begins to wobble with you. Oh, everything begins to turn and twirl with you. I've had it so bad that I actually, and not to make you sick, threw up. So I went to bed. When I went to bed, my wife rolled over in the bed and laid her hand on me and prayed for me. How many of you know I woke up this morning clear-minded? Hallelujah. I got a little dry mouth this morning, but you know what? I don't have vertigo. I'm not afraid to walk around to the edge of the platform this morning as I preach without worrying about falling off. That's God. To the glory of God. Let's look at Jeremiah. But before we do, let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for this day, God, that you've given us, Father. We're so thankful, Father, that we can come and gather in your name today, Lord, and lift up your name, Father, to lift you up and to magnify you, not man, but you, Father, to magnify and glorify that wonderful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life a ransom for us, that we may have life in heaven everlasting. To God be the glory. Father, anoint your servant today, God. May I speak the words with the anointing and the wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy Ghost and not with that of man, Father, to speak what you have given me. Lord, let it touch our hearts and our lives today, God, and permeate our souls, Father. And God, that we may be found pleasing unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jeremiah 29, turn with me. Jeremiah is speaking to the children of Israel, the exiles. They had been into exile. They were still in exile. How many of you know God has to take us down sometime to speak to us? He does, doesn't he? He has to take us low to get our attention sometime. I've been low. I've been flat on my back before I had God speak to me. Because I was disobedient unto what God wanted me to do. Excuse me. And here, Jeremiah is speaking to the Israelites here. And they were in captivity in Babylon. And in this 29th chapter here, Jeremiah prophesies to them what the Lord says to him. He says, and starting with the 11th verse, says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Because of their disbelief, because of their pride and their arrogance toward God, their idol worship, they were carried off into slavery by the Babylonians. And God told them, he says, when you seek me with your heart, then you will find me. My wife gave me this book, Charles Finney. Charles Finney was an 1800s evangelist. I'm telling you, a strong evangelist, a man of God, man full of the Holy Ghost. In preparing for this sermon this week, you know, God gives you words. If you preach anything any time or speak any time and you rely upon the Holy Spirit, you never know what God's going to say to you. You never know when you're going to get this message. You just pray and seek God's face and allow God to speak to you. You know, I reached and got the Bible and I began to study and I began to pour my heart out to God. I said, God, I need to speak on Sunday morning and I don't have anything to speak. Now, Ron was supposed to speak today. I was supposed to have surgery. I was supposed to have surgery on my knee and my hand. Well, it didn't happen. I got this sinus infection, so they said, nope, we can't operate on you. We're going to have to set it off another time. So I that's it. That's why I'm up here. And Ron, we conversed. I said, Ron, what you want to do? Ron said, brother, I'm working on a business meeting. How about you just preach it? And I said, okay. So how many of you know I had to go to the Lord real quick? How many of you have been to the Lord real quick? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, desperate. A lot of times that's what's wrong with us. We wait until we get desperate, and then we want to go to God. Oh, God! Lord, where are you? I need you right now, Lord! And sometimes, you know, I think, you know, God has a little sense of humor. I believe he does. I believe sometimes he may think to himself, well, where you been all this time? I hadn't heard you. Sometimes I believe God thinks it. But you know what? He's a loving and merciful God, isn't he? He says, here I am. I've been right here all the time. It's just like a child in a grocery store. They can't see mama. They go to squall. Mama! And they look around the aisle. There she is. Oh, they go running around. A big smile on her face. Oh, that's the way we are. We don't go to God in prayer for the first time. We'll think about it a little while. We'll think, now what can I do? And we try to rationalize and think, you know, now this is a way I think I can work this out. I think I can handle this. You see, that's your first mistake, especially in spiritual things and with things in your life as well. You know, we think, well, I can handle this. Only to get into the midst of the situation and realize, hey, I can't handle this. What am I going to do, God? What am I going to do? And also, call on me. Seek me. And I will show you what to do. I will hear you and answer you. It might not be the answer you want, but God's going to answer your prayer. You see, that's our problem sometimes. It's not answered the way we think it should be answered. This Mr. Finney, this evangelist that my wife, I started reading this book. I'm going to finish that book. It's a good book. I'm telling you. It's wonderful. I began to read this book, and Mr. Finney was a lawyer. He had grew up in a little town there, he had studied law. He was a good lawyer. But he would go to church, and he was a choir director, but he wasn't a Christian. He hadn't got saved. He hadn't given his life to Christ. He had listened to so much. There were preachers that were preaching all kinds of religion, the Calvinistics and the Unitarians. And there was so much that he would listen to, and there was so much disbelief that he couldn't just focus. And even to his pastor told some of the congregation, don't even witness to Finney. Don't even witness to him. Don't talk to him because he's not never going to get saved. You ever seen anybody like that? that you thought they will never get saved. And to your surprise, God comes along and saves the very person that you said will never get saved. Isn't God surprising? Aren't you glad that He's our judge and not man? The Word of God says to speak life and not death. I believe God, there's no heart too hard that God can't reach. God can reach your heart, but it takes you to answer to the voice of God. Now, you can listen to all the, you can listen to all of this stuff. You can listen to TV pastors. You can listen to this one, and you can listen to that one. But I'm telling you today, listen to the Word of God. Listen to the voice of God speaking to your heart. Get on your prayer bones, and you get down, and you talk to God. Now, prayer bones, that's your knees, by the way, if you didn't know that. I told you I wasn't politically correct, so... I'm not a man of with a good vocabulary. I just say what comes to mind, what God puts there. You get down and you begin to seek God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. And you go according to the leading of the Word. And you get into the Word of God and you begin to study the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to you and you will be right. You see, that was a group of ministers. They had a big meeting one time. This is a true story. They had a big meeting one time, and they had this young man there, and he asked one of the prominent pastors, one of old. There were different denominations. They were from different denominations, and they had all been given their opinion on things and scriptures and everything, and they happened to have a young man there, and he says, he asked this old prominent pastor, he says, "Who is right? I've heard all of this discussion." He said, "Who is right?" You know what? God gives us wisdom sometimes, doesn't He? A lot of times. And the old pastor looked at him and said, "Son, let me tell you something." He said, "Forget all you've heard. Forget all of that. And you take this Word of God, you read it, and you take that. And that's your answer," he said, "to everything. Every situation, every problem you have, God has an answer here for you if you will pick it up and read it. But it takes you reading the Word of God and you talking to the Lord for you to get victory over anything in your life. You see, I don't know what your life is. I don't know you. I know some of you. I've been knowing Calvin Fisher all his life, I think. And Debbie, I've been knowing her ever since she was a little girl. And Harvey, he's been knowing me ever since I was a little sniveling little brat. Used to go sleep in the chicken area so I could go hunting with them. I know several of you in here. Sister Taylor, she's not here. She's not feeling well today. You need to pray for her. I've been knowing her. I remember when she came here. She moved here from West Virginia. I know all these people. But I don't know your life. I don't live with you. My doctor got on me here not too long ago. "Mr. Williams, you've been taking this medicine like I told you to?" I said, "Well, I don't live with you," he says. "I don't know what you're doing. You got to take the medicine." I said, "Yes, sir. How many of you know I've been taking the medicine?" Whew, I wish I didn't have to, but it works. So, I don't know your life, but God knows your life. I don't live with you. I don't know what habits you have. I don't know what's plague in your life, but God knows what you have need of. And if you go to Him and you talk to Him, you see this, Mr. Finney, he had listened to all of this stuff and he couldn't get through to God. He couldn't make a breakthrough. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with his life, and one day he decided that he's going to get out in the woods. He says, "I'm going to walk out in these woods and I'm going to seek God." And he walked and he walked. He says he come to an area where he had some fallen trees were. And he says that he got down in the midst of those trees and got down on his knees and began to pray. You see, we need a prayer closet. Every one of us need a prayer closet. And you know what? One of the biggest excuses I hear, "I don't have time to pray, brother. You just don't understand. You don't know my life." No, you don't know my life either. And I don't know you, but God knows you. And I know that you can take time for anything else you want to take time for. It's just like the reading of God's Word. We'll read other books and we'll read magazines and we'll read this, but we say we don't have time to read God's Word. Are you scolding us today? No, I'm scolding me. And it just so happens that I'm verbally telling you what's going on. So you are within the sound of my voice, so you've got to listen to me because I'm a preacher today. And Ron will be next week, and everybody said amen. Kind of like the preacher was leaving and the song leader got up. You got to watch what you say sometimes. The pastor got up and announced his resignation, and the song leader got up behind him and said, let's all stand and sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Be careful what you say and what you think sometimes. Mr. Finney said he got down and he began to pray, but pride got in his way. How many of you know that we pride gets in our way sometimes and we don't even know we're proud? Pride gets in the way and it blocks the prayers that we have. This is going to take a little time today. Not a whole lot of time, but it's going to take a little time. So bear with me. Now, I got to talk a little loud because I ain't got my hearing aids in. Pride got in his way, and he began to pray, and he began to seek God, and he said, all of a sudden, he would hear the leaves rustle, and he would look up, because he didn't want anybody seeing him on his knees praying. You know, we're like that. We'll get in a restaurant, and that plate comes, ain't even thought about asking God bless it. No, I don't want nobody to see me praying. And we'll make excuses. Well, somebody will ask you, will you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray for you when I get home. Man in a factory one time, a high pressure oil line busted. This is a true story. And he cut his throat. Man was laying there bleeding. He only knew one Christian in the whole plant, and he sent for him. Go tell him to come. The man came, and he asked the man, and the man knelt down beside him. He says, what do you need? What do you want? He said, man, I'm dying. He said, pray for me. You know what the man replied to him? I don't pray in public. How sad that we don't do these things. I remember a friend of mine, his wife had had surgery after surgery after surgery. And don't get me wrong, I don't boast on me. I boast on God. The one that we serve, we happen to be in Sam's, and I run up on him. She says, and I begin to talk to her. She said, I'm so sick of having surgeries. I'm sick. I'm sick and tired. In other words, what she was saying is she was being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I happened to see the pastor and his wife in the building, and I said, wait right here. I run around the corner. I said, Pastor, come here. I didn't care who was in there. That woman had already made a request, and she was sick. Pastor come running. He said, what is it? I said, I got a woman up here that says she's sick and tired of being sick, brother. We need to pray for her. Without any hesitation, we went up and laid hands on her and prayed for her. And God did a work because I saw her husband 2 or 3 weeks later. I said, how's your wife doing? She's doing good, he said. You never know what God wants to work out in your life. Don't be ashamed. Let me tell you something. God said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And when you get to heaven in front of my Father, I'm going to be ashamed of you. That's what His Word says. We let pride creep in sometimes, and we don't do what God wants us to do. Every time, he said, even after he finally gave his life to Christ, he accepted God. He would read God's word, and he said he would lay the Bible down, and when somebody would come into the room, he would throw his law books over top of the Bible so they would think he wasn't reading. Sound like anybody? I don't know who you are. You said that shoe don't fit me. If it don't fit you, then pass it on down the aisle to somebody else. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If it does, it's going to come back to you. God will get your attention. I want to tell you something. I heard something this week, and it really shocked me, but it pleased me. And I had to give God some praise for it. Something that happened years ago to a person that used to come to this church. I'm not going to go into detail what it was, but I just found this out the other day. The person that did the hurt called this person years been years since it happened. Call this person, not just 2 weeks ago, and apologize. Let me tell you something. You're not going to have victory in your life until you get rid of the things that's in your heart that are not pleasing to God. You got to get rid of that disbelief and that pride and that arrogance. And Mr. Finney said, I would get down and pray in my office. I would plug the keyhole up so nobody would hear me praying. Are you ashamed to hear people hear you pray? Now, I'm not saying you got to pray squall out prayers. I'm not saying that at all. But don't be ashamed to tuck your head and say, I think that's a good thing. I want to get up and go shake people's hands. When I look, I'm in a restaurant somewhere and I see somebody, man, to join hands and they bow the head and ask God's blessing over the meal. Let me tell you something. It's prayer that's what's going to take you through these things that are bothering you. It's prayer that's going to set you free from these things that bind you, these chains of the enemy that has put on you. You see, when they took these children of Israel captive into Babylon, they put shackles and chains on them. They couldn't run. They couldn't get free. That's what the enemy of your soul tries to do. He tries to shackle and chain you to keep you from being victorious in your life. But God has come and set you free. That's the only thing that set Mr. Finney free was the Spirit of God and him giving it to God and swallowing that pride and letting God work in and through his life. I just don't see where I need to let everybody know what's going on. I asked a man one day, I said, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord? We was talking on this subject. You know what his reply was to me? That's between me and God. I said, you know what? You just answered my question. He answered it because, you know what? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you got him living in your heart, you want to tell everybody you come in contact with. You remember the night you got saved or the day or when you gave your life to Christ? You were so zealous for God. What has happened to your joy? Who has stole your joy? Who has stole your prayer life and your time alone with Jesus Christ? What's come in and taken that time? What's so important that you don't have time anymore to spend with God? Now, I know Dreamer over here. I'm not going to call her name, but initials are Dreamer. So I know she won't mind me using her as an example. Dreamer's another one I've been knowing for a while. And if it comes to a spiritual battle, I want Dreamer on my side. But was having our little home group, and Dreamer says, you know, I've been trying to find a place to pray, she said. And I just want a place that I can get along and pray with God. I said, Dreamer, you pray and ask God for a place. I said, you asked him to give you a place. Now, let me tell you something. Now, you be careful what you ask for. You just sung that song this morning, we're not satisfied with ordinary. How many of you said that? How many of you were singing? Well, I don't see no hands being raised. All I see is... Yes, indeed. There you go. Did you mean it? Did you mean it? I'm asking you a question. Did you mean it? Now, you lie, you fry, you're in church. That's what the Word of God says. He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. I wish you'd shut up so we can eat. God knows what your thoughts are. He knows what you're thinking this very minute. He knows whether you're sincere or whether you're not. Well, let me just tell you something. Be careful what you ask for. Because God's going to grant it if it's according to his will and his purpose and it's to glorify him. It's going to happen. Walked in the building one day and I said, Lord, give me somebody to witness to. Head of security said, pray right there in front of everybody. All the security guard. Everybody in the plant. Pray. I said, what? Ain't you the one that said Jesus coming tomorrow? I said, no, I didn't say that. And I said, what? I'll tell you what. The Word of God says no man knows the hour or the time when Jesus Christ is coming, not even the Son. But only my Heavenly Father knows that time. We need to take the opportunity and the time to give God the glory and the praise. Don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ. And he said, when you are asked of the hope that lieth within you, give an answer. Push pride aside, push disbelief aside, push all of that arrogance aside, and let God work in and through you. You want victory over your lies? You want victory over the things that are plaguing you and have you bound? You call upon God and watch God move. It takes prayer. It takes you pouring your heart out to God. I just read it to you. When you seek me with your heart, he said. Let me read it again. When you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's emptying everything in here out to God and telling him your heart's hidden secrets. And allowing him to take those things and dispose of them and give you the victory. I don't know what you're bound with today. But God does. There were problems in my life after I gave my life to Christ that I had to give up, and I couldn't. I struggled with them until I got down on my knees and I poured my heart out to God and said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. And God delivered me from that thing. But it took me showing God that I meant business with him and I wanted to be free of it. And God broke those chains that had me bound. God will do the same for you just like what he done for me. But it takes you doing that. It wasn't long before God got a hold to Mr. Finney's heart and he began to cry out to God. He began to pray and seek God's face. He began to read the Word of God and get into the Word of God. He began to dispute these false teachers and this false doctrine that was being taught. He began to dispute those things. There were people that laughed at him. But you know what? People do that sometimes. People laugh. You ever had anybody laugh at you for what you believe? Sure you have. You know, the Word of God says we're not going to escape these persecutions. We're going to suffer persecution. If you're a child of God, he said, if the world hates me, surely they're going to hate you too. They hate what you stand for and who you stand for. But you know what? You shouldn't care. You shouldn't care. They're not persecuting you. They're persecuting God, whom you serve. And if you're faithful and true to God, God's going to give you the victory. Let me tell you something. There was a time here years ago. I'm going to tell this, and I know it to be the fact because I know some people that went through that. There were people that worked in certain plants, and they were told that they shouldn't go to certain churches. Now, when we allow man to dictate to us where we can and where we can't go to church, there are some of you Liberty students in here this morning, you're here today, and I think you're here and you're okay. I don't think you're under any scrutiny over there for coming over here to a Pentecostal church, but back years ago, you wasn't allowed to come to a Pentecostal church. I know this to be a fact because we've had Liberty students that come and told us that and had left Liberty University and went to another Pentecostal college somewhere. Yes, indeed. You can't let man dictate to you. You have to allow God to work in and through you. You let God do the dictating. You see, Mr. Finney, he had disbelief, he had pride, he had a bunch of stuff that was plaguing him. Until he got on his knees and he cried out to God. He said, I poured my heart. He said, I bawled like a baby. He said, I got to the point. He said, I got to the point where I told God, I don't care if the whole world sees me. And he said, God reminded him while he was praying, something he had said before. God, I'm going to give my life to you. He said, and when he was beginning to pray, he said, God reminded him. He said, he started not to go, but God reminded him. He said, you said that you was going to give your life to me. Let me tell you something. God will remind you of the things that you say. That's another thing. Vows. Vows that we make to God. We promise. You know, we get into problems and situations, and we pray and we seek God, and we say, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, Father. If you will just do this, Father, I will. I promise you, God. I promise you that I will do this. Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41 said, "And he cometh unto the disciples and found." No, I'm sorry, I got the wrong one there. But Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, he had asked the disciples to pray with him, and he says, he comes back and he catches them sleeping. He says, "Couldn't you just tarry with me 1 hour? Couldn't you just tarry with me 1 hour?" And the Word of God says, if you make a vow unto God, make sure you keep that vow. Make sure you keep it. God's going to hold you to it. Be careful what you tell God you're going to do, if he will do thus and so. Because God's going to expect you to keep up your end of the deal. He kept up his end of the deal. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed." Strong words. But sometimes we have to use strong words, don't we? God has to use strong words to get our attention. God began to move in this man's life, and God began to open the scriptures to him. You see, we need to study God's Word. If we don't study God's Word, we don't know what God's Word says. We don't know what sin is. We don't know what God wants us to do and how God wants us to use us and what his Word is saying to our hearts. But it's when we get into the Word of God and we allow the Spirit of God to speak through his Word to our hearts and our lives, when we're open to him, when we open our minds and our hearts to him and allow him to speak, God comes in like a flood and begins to speak to our hearts with sweet things that he wants us to do for him. I'm telling you, God is great. The Word of God is so wonderful, and it can touch your heart and your life beyond anything that you can even imagine. When you're going through problems in your life and you begin to call on God and you've studied God's Word, those scriptures begin to flood your mind, and the peace of God begins to come in, and you know in your heart and you know with the surety that God's going to see me through this thing. He's going to take me through it. Because his Word said so. Our prayer lives is the biggest key to our success in serving God. Our prayer life. You need a prayer life. You don't have time, you ask God for time. And God will show you a time that you can set aside. God has to show me, turn the TV off. I want to talk to you. Lay the books down. Lay the newspaper down. I want to tell you something. I remember praying and seeking God for a message, and I'm sitting there watching the TV, and God said, if you'll get up right in front of this TV and go in there and seek me, I'll give you a message. Sometimes God's Word is stern with us, isn't he? Yep. And guess what I did? I got up and I left the TV and I went in and sat down, and but a few minutes later when I began to seek God and read the Word of God, I got a message. It was just clear as it could be. But it takes you doing something on your part. God's going to keep up his end of the deal, but it takes you doing something and you seeking God. Mr. Finney said he began to seek God, and he began to pray and to seek God. And he says one time he went in and he began to pray, and he went in and they had moved their office, and he said he couldn't wait till his partner left so he could shut the door and go in and pray and seek God and pour his heart out to God. He said, and his partner left, they had moved that day, and he said they had all the furniture put in place And he built a fire, nice fire. And he said, and the man left. And he said, I went into the back room. He said, there wasn't no fire, there was no light. He said, but that room was perfectly lit. Oh, praise God, with the presence of God. Let me tell you something. When you go, you know, on your knees to God, God's going to be there. He's going to illuminate that place where you are. Because you are his children, and his ears are ever attentive to your voice. And he wants you to tell him what's troubling you or what you want. He wants to know what's in your heart. And when you begin to lay it all out to him and you begin to cry, oh, let me tell you something. Some of you may be to bawl and cry and scream and holler to God. God's not nervous. That's what must have finished. He said, I bawl like a child. He said, and I told God everything that was in my heart. God met his need. God changed his life. God wants to change you today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ and you've been struggling with disbelief and pride, God wants to change your life today. He wants to give you a life that's pleasing to him. And if you've been bound by something, God wants to take it. He wants to break the chain that bound you up and set you free from that thing and give you liberty in him. You see, I don't know what you have need of today, but God does. But it's one thing I do know. I know what the Word of God says. If you will seek me with your whole heart, I will answer you. If you will seek me with your whole heart, tell everything that's in your heart to God. Don't hold nothing back because he already knows what it is. He knows what that little sin is that so easily besets us. He knows what it is. Tell God about it. Pour it out to him and let him come in and take that thing away and cleanse you and replace it with joy and peace and love in your heart. That's what he wants to do. I want to read you a little insert that I printed out of this book of Mr. Finney here. Something that he read. And then I'm going to close, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to bless the food because I don't want you running out of here to eat. We got time to eat. There's times and places for everything. When the Spirit of God is moving, you don't quench it. You allow the Spirit of God to move. Let me tell you something. Give God time. Now, if you have to go, that's another thing. If you've got plans and you have a time schedule, that's fine. You just get up and go right ahead. But let me tell you something. The food's going to be there. And we're going to have the business meeting afterwards. I believe that's the order of it. But let me tell you something. Now's the time for the Spirit of God. You never know who's in here that needs Jesus Christ or who's going through a struggle in their life and they can't break free of that thing. And God wants to do it. Don't be in no hurry. Because you may be the one that God uses to reach that person. Be ready at all times for God to use you. Be open. I want to read you a little something here. This is when he went in his room. He said, there was no fire and no light in the room. Nonetheless, it appeared to me as if it were perfectly lit. As I went in and shut the door after me, it seemed to me that I saw him as I would see any other man. And he said, nothing, but looked at me in such a manner as it broke me right down at his feet. I've always since regarded this as a most remarkable state of mind, for it seemed to me a reality that he stood before me and I fell down at his feet and poured out my soul to him. I wept aloud like a child and made such confession. Whew. As I could with my choked utterance. It seemed to me that I had bathed his feet with my tears, and yet I had no distant impression that I had touched him, that I had recollect. I must have continued in this state for a good while, but my mind was was too much absorbed with the interview to recollect anything that I had said. But I know as soon as my mind became calm enough to break off from the interview, I returned to the front office and found that the fire that I had made of large wood was nearly burned out. But as I turned and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Without any expectation of it, without ever having the thought in my mind that there was any such thing for me, without my recollection that I had ever heard the thing mentioned by any person in the world, the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to carry in waves and waves of liquid love, for I could not express it any other way. And yet it did not seem like water, but rather the breath of God. I could recollect distinctly that it seemed to fan me like immense wings. And it seemed to me as these waves passed over me that they literally moved my hair like a passing breeze. No words can express the wonderful love that was shed abroad in my heart. I wept aloud with the joy and love. And I do not know, but I should say, I literally bellowed out unutterable gushings of my heart. These waves came over me and over me and over me, one after another, until I recollect I cried out, I shall die if these waves continue to pass over me. I said, Lord, I cannot bear any more. Yet I had no fear of death. How long I continued in this state with this baptism continuing to roll over me and to go through me, I do not know. But I know it was late in the afternoon. Praise God. Praise God. What's holding you back? God wants to fill you with His Spirit. God wants to fill you with His love. Just like He did Mr. Finney and all the other people that we read about. All the ones in the Word of God that we read about. You say, but I'm not one of those people. No, you might not be, but you know what? You serve the same God that they serve. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He changes not. If He filled them in that day, He wants to fill them in this day. He hasn't changed one bit, regardless of what man says. Let that disbelief in what you've heard come from man. Let it leave your mind and your thought life and concentrate upon what the Word of God says. He said, if you will come unto me, I will sup with you and you with me. Hallelujah. God wants to fill your holy with you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to set you free from whatever those chains that have you bound this morning. He wants to set you free. Won't you get to your feet this morning? And won't you come down around these altars today? You see, I don't care if you need Jesus or whether you have a problem or whether you just want to talk to the Lord a little bit this morning and pour out your heart to Him. Let me tell you something. You shouldn't have to be begged and pleaded with. It should be an automatic thing when the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart. To come and fall on your knees to a holy God, one that has gave His life a ransom for you and has done so much for you. Won't you get to your feet and come on? We don't need music to bring us to the altar. I'm not going to even ask them to play anything this morning, but I want you to come and gather around this altar just for a short spell, and then we're going to go in and have a meal, and then we have our business meeting. But the first order of business is for you this morning to talk to the Master. Talk to Jesus. Let Him have His way in your heart, in your life. You need something, we got people here that'll pray for you. You just come right on to the altar and tell me that you want to be prayed for, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't let pride stand in your way this morning or come into this altar. Don't let pride, don't let what man has said or what man may think of you, you come on down here. Don't let the enemy of your soul trick and deceive you today. You know that you need Jesus in your life. You know that there's something that has bound you forever and a day, and you want to get set free from it. Today is the day. God wants to set you free. His word said today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off, for tomorrow may never come. You may not never have another chance. Today is your day. Won't you come to Him today? Don't turn Him away. Come to Him. Oh, seek His face. Pour your heart out to Him this morning. And allow Him. Allow Him to take those things out that you need to get rid of. Tell Him everything that's going on in your heart, in your life. All the sins that's there. All the things that you need to give up to be victorious. You want to be victorious? Pour out your heart to Jesus Christ. It wasn't until Israel repented of their sins, truly repented, and began to serve God and to keep His commandments that they were set free. That they were set free. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.